I'm here at HRH with Smoking Martha. Guys,
hello.
You're playing HRH today. Yeah. So exciting.
Oh my God, we're so excited. Yeah,
and you've come all the way from Australia.
We have.
All the way from Brisbane, Australia.
Okay, which must be one of the longest journeys of any of the bands here.
I would hope so. Yeah. I don't know if there'd be a longer journey you could make.
from Australia? Probably not.
Now, for those who don't know you, how would you describe your sound?
Good.
A bit of rock, a bit of punk, a bit of sultriness, high energy.
And in terms of influences, what would you say comes through there?
It's so mixed between all of us. I think in an interview we gave earlier, I think the best we could describe it is sort of sultry, high energy rock. As far as influences are concerned, they're too varied between all of us for there to be a
particular
influence. So
yeah, we each have very different musical tastes, and
okay.
I think that's why as a band, I think our music, when we do put it all together, it is quite different. Like every song does change quite a bit from the next.
Okay.
So yeah, we have too many influences to really mention.
Which isn't a bad problem to have either.
No, there's a lot to draw from.
Absolutely.
That's one of the good things about coming along decades after the 70s. There's so much, already
so
out there for ripe for the picking.
Yeah, definitely.
A little bit of this.
It makes me wonder what the younger generation of musicians now, what the sort of music they're going to be writing, because they've got everything up until this point to draw from, and we do as well. But if you were a 13-year-old picking up a guitar, getting into songwriting,
everything good's already written. You just got a copyright.
Yeah,
switch it up 10%.
Cheeky fee.
But I'm amazed at how much good rock music is still coming out, and from established acts as well. Because I continually get promotional stuff that's just amazing. So I don't think it's all done. Introduce the band. Introduce yourselves and tell us what you bring to the party. Tell us what you do.
Okay. Well, I'm Tasha. I'm the singer for Smoking Martha. And I write the vocals, the lyrics and melodies, and that's me.
I'm Mick, I'm the guitarist. I write guitar stuff, so that's pretty good.
Yeah.
And I can tie my own shoelaces.
He's got a fantastic mustache.
And you're pretty good at call signs as well, found out.
That's it. Beat two of them.
I'm Matty, I play bass in the band. I drive and I drink Guinness.
Okay.
I write some songs sometimes in between drinking Guinness and driving.
And I'm Geordie, I play the drums, and I just try and do that as well as I can, because I don't sell many tickets for show. I have to pull the weight behind the drum set, so that's what I try and do.
And you said you write the lyrics, so where do you draw inspiration from for songs?
Okay, everything. So I guess the biggest thing for me is anything that's going to make me feel, I guess something that's, it's so hard. I guess because it changes all the time. In between how I feel at the time, if I'm in an emotional state or if I'm in a happy state. But I draw inspiration from other people around me, what they're going through, as well as my own problems and dreams, inspirations, everything really. I kind of fixate on a subject and then from there revolve that song around a subject, and then that's how the song's created. So.
Where does the name Smoking Martha come from, to give people a sort of flavour of where you guys are coming from?
Well, Smoking Martha originally came from I don't know if you know the Motels. Martha Davies from the Motels. She was a bit of an inspiration for me at the very beginning.
Brad just showed his bum.
That was a nice bum.
Sorry, I'm not in this band.
So for the listeners at home, the singer of Massive just invaded the interview.
I just flashed my bum.
I got to see it. I'm so happy.
We got mooned.
Carry on.
Thank
this
you
is Smoking
this.
Martha.
Thank
Smoking Martha are amazing. One of my favourite bands.
And Brad's bum is
one
amazing.
One of my favourite bums, Brad.
Definitely up there.
And so it's named after a character. Why is she smoking?
Well, she actually chain smoked on stage, and I thought that was the most I've never seen it before, and it just fascinated me. And I actually started doing some karaoke when I started singing, just to get some kind of confidence in front of people. And I actually won a karaoke competition singing Total Control by Martha Davies, like the Motels. And that's where the band name came from. We were like Smoking Martha.
Right, but also sounds like Smoking Hot, which is nice.
It's either that or also people think that we're smoking Martha, like there is actually a drug called Martha.
Okay, well, yeah.
And we're like, well, no.
Depends on where you are at the time when you hear it, I guess.
We're like, oh.
Now, you guys had a debut album, Indeed. Tell us about that.
Yeah.
And where you are up to with recordings.
Well, I mean, that album, the beginning of the process of recording that album was the better part of 18 months ago, and although it's a fresh release relatively, it to us is starting to become a bit of a back catalogue, I suppose. And it's cool to come here where it's just recently been released, and I think we can ride that wave for as long as it allows us to, but we're well in the process of writing for the upcoming album, the next album.
And that's changing, is it? Is there an evolution there?
Yeah.
So for people who know the old album, what is the evolution? How would you describe the way the band is going?
Yeah, we've rhythm guitarist Aaron was on the debut album. He's no longer with us. He departed in the last year, so now we're down to a four-piece.
Which has changed the dynamics a lot, the way we've written as well.
Now down to four. I suppose we're writing this as a four-piece compared to trying to write two guitar parts. A lot more melodies, stuff like that. We just simplified our sound down to
focusing on it just being as catchy as we can as a four-piece. And
solid.
Tight, solid. And I think we're still growing, though, with sound. Like, we definitely have evolved, but we are changing. I think we're always going to be that changing band because I think we get too bored if it gets too the same. We kind of need to keep it changing all the time and growing so that it excites us.
And there's a sort of huge fan base in Australia for rock. I mean, obviously there's the AC/DC, but also female fronted rock, Susie Quattro, still has her biggest number of fans and is still most successful in Australia. Wow. And, you know, the album she recently did with the guy from The Suite had the most success in Australia. So it seems to be a good place to be a rock band. And certainly, you know, I think places are crying out for a gigging band. I mean, you must never finish going around Australia ever.
I don't know
ever.
Where you're getting your information from. But it's my understanding that coming here is where we will find a bit more of a home base in terms of, I think that there is a more of a genuine rock scene here. I think Australia's funny in that...
Do they like tribute bands and cover records?
Yeah.
Is that the problem?
They want fills on stills. They just want...
They want to hear what they've already heard.
Right, okay.
But in saying that, we do, like, you know, we obviously have a really great support base in Brisbane because we've built that up organically, because we've worked hard and we've worked hard at doing that. But in terms of overall scene, I guess we're so small compared to everywhere else in the world that, you know, of course, if you go to somewhere like here, the UK, it's so much bigger. There are so many more people. And all those people, you know, there is obviously going to be way more diversity with what they're listening to. Australia can be quite trend-driven, very trend-driven, they'll jump on a bandwagon. It's very much like, okay, this is what's in, and everyone just jumps on it. We can be quite, like, I guess a bit sheepy. There's a little bit following,
rock,
I think, in Australia.
Generally underground.
So you're
in
more
Australia
alternative,
now,
so. Really. And so that's why you're thinking coming to the UK is going to be more receptive to your stuff.
Nah, actually, we're a rock band that got told that if you want to make it in Australia, play country.
Country? Right. Okay, so you're not going to do that.
They're not convinced of rock. They're not buying rock. Yeah. They're buying country. That's it.
Okay. And I think you've got a better chance in Australia coming and selling yourself back to Australia after not necessarily success overseas, but I think that we're going to do better in Australia from coming and playing this tour here. because it's almost like a small poppy or tall poppy syndrome sort of thing there, where it's bands like AC/DC and this is sort of, they're obviously huge and popular in Australia, but they're also, they're popular of a yesteryear era.
Yeah.
They don't really have that sort of
current
relevance as a popular band. Current popular band. As we're over here, it seems that's sort of
much more of a melting pot. Young bands.
They paved the way. They're the ones that like pioneered traveling over here from Australia.
Well, they got,
pretty much we're all just falling in their wake.
Yeah.
Those bands will never ever lose respect for that, because without them making that move, we wouldn't be.
Yeah. Now, what are your long-term ambitions for the band then?
Lots more travelling.
Day jobs.
Yeah,
that would
You're
be
closer
nice.
To Japan. Yeah. Huge rock market.
We
were looking into Japan, but we just kind of went where the wind took us. I think we were kind of, we put our feelers out there.
Where when the phone rang?
Well, we put out our feelers and we kind of thought, okay, where are we going to go? And, you know, by having the album out there to the world, and we just found the UK really jumped on it, and we got a lot of great press from the UK and a lot of great reviews. And so we kind of just went the way that we were, that, you know, Earth and, you know, the universe provided. So I think that's how we were always going to play it, like, just to, because there's so many options to go. You know, we could go to Canada, or we could go to Japan, or
Japan would definitely be in the back of all of our minds.
Oh, we can definitely.
It was something that we spoke about, sort of,
just
a lot closer. It was sort of definitely something that was,
it's in the pipeline
there. And lots of bands that we know in Brisbane and around that Brisbane area have done those sort of 9-10 show runs of Japan and rave about it. They're big, they get good crowds, so there's definitely something there.
Apparently they're very
spirited.
Just apparently really good to their musicians, and they take care of you when you go there, and
everybody looks like a businessman. I went to see Kiss of the Budokan, and we were the only people with long hair. Everybody's like in a tie and a suit,
so
short hair.
So conservative.
Well, this was a while ago. I don't go to Japan every week, but I don't know that it will have changed that much. Maybe Yuko's coming through a bit more with the Lolita and stuff now since then, but certainly, you know, it was a surprise to see them going crazy in their shirt and tie.
It's awesome. I love it. Yeah, it is Kiss.
Long term would be more of the same. Get back into the studio next year, record and release another album, come back and do this again next year. You know, coming and doing this isn't something that we're doing as like a once off hoo-ha. It's like something we want to establish so that we can continue to do it over the years. So I think that'd be the
The aim.
Yeah, for sure.
So what's next, and where can people find out more about what's happening as the news breaks?
Social media.
We're obviously on all of the social media, so Facebook is always a great one because we keep it updated all the time. Instagram, the website, definitely all social media, you can find us. We'll always obviously put up any news like dates and things up on that, but we also have YouTube channels for if you want to see our film clips and our music videos. We have quite a few film clips that we've done over the time, so we're a very visual band. We like to give people as much visually as we can, that's probably the best way to probably follow and see what we're doing.
Come talk to us at a gig.
Come to a show and come and have a chat.
And that's the thing that is like, this whole experience is pretty humbling, because we work full time jobs and we spend a lot of time in the room writing and playing music and working on making it as good as we can. So, you know, last night, for example, to go to a pretty mixed bill, really, as far as the genres of bands that were playing. It was the first show in the UK. But everyone was awesome. You know what I mean? And it's that. It's
meeting these amazing people
engaging
and
engaging people and being engaged by awesome people playing shows is a little sprinkle on top of all the fun and the enjoyment of actually playing live as well, which I think is probably number one for all of us.
And it's the economic necessity these days you know, the world of digital, you know, it's just the thing to do as well. So you have to be into it, you have to want to do it. There's no being Kate Bush and, you know, deciding that you're only going to put recordings out. I mean, it wouldn't be viable these days.
No, we wish we had that luxury. We just do what, you know, we'll do it sometimes if we want, but that'd be nice.
I think you're going to have amazing times on the road, all the places that you will
100%.
See It'll be fantastic. All right, best of luck with the show, guys.
Thank you so much.
Talking to us.
Thank you for having us.